ABC Radio Australia.
We begin with delegates from around the world, including those on both sides of the deep sea mining divide in the Pacific, have arrived in Kingston, Jamaica to attend the 30th session of the International Seabed Authority Assembly and Council, which begins today. The gathering comes hot on the heels of the delivery of new research into the potential environmental impacts of mining the seabed, and a matter of months after Donald Trump signed off on an executive order designed to open up US and international waters to mining companies. So now, as Lucy Cooper reports, with pressure mounting on the ISA, the hope is they will move closer to finalising regulations for deep sea mining in international waters at last.
Deep sea mining, a controversial and at times divisive topic in the Pacific, where Nauru, Kiribati, Tonga and the Cook Islands are looking likely to proceed with it, Palau, Fiji, Samoa, Vanuatu, Tuvalu and the Marshall Islands are cautious and for some, completely opposed to it.
The Pacific Islands are the big ocean states. Their area of livelihood is much bigger in the water, into the water, than on land.
That's Leticia Cavallo, an oceanographer by training, who is the Secretary General of the International Seabed Authority, or ISA.
The deep sea bed needs rules, and the ones that will benefit more of collective rules are the ones that have vast water mass, and the Pacific people will benefit more than others.
The past 6 months in the world of deep sea mining has been very interesting. At the start of the year, the ISA, which has prevented deep sea mining in international waters, while it works on governance frameworks, elected Ms. Cavallo as its new Secretary General. In April, Donald Trump signed an executive order to accelerate the development of seabed mineral resources in domestic and international waters. Soon after, the metals company, a frontrunner in the efforts to mine the seabed, decided to look beyond the ISA and instead lodge an application with the US regulator to begin commercial mining. And just last week, Australia's National Science Agency, the CSIRO, released a report which outlines a way to assess the environmental impacts of deep sea mining. Here's Senior Principal Research Scientist Dr. Piers Dunstan explaining the significance of it.
Our goal and the work that we have done sets a standard for a really robust analysis of deep sea communities and deep sea mining, so that if deep sea mining does occur, it'll be underpinned by science-based management and monitoring. We feel this is a very relevant report. It is the first integrated assessment that anyone's ever done of the deep ocean in this particular way.
The metals company commissioned and paid for the research. CEO Gerard Barron said he was pleased with its findings.
It's a report that is pragmatic, and it shows that you can create thresholds where you can safely go and collect these polymetallic nodules and stay within thresholds and not cause any serious harm.
Phil McCabe of the Deep Sea Conservation Coalition, which advocates for a moratorium on deep sea mining, also welcomes the findings of the report because, for him, it affirms that major knowledge gaps still exist in the industry.
The report really underlines the need for a moratorium, really, because the underlying reality is reiterated here that very little is known about the deep sea ecosystems where this mining is planned, and therefore our ability to fully predict and understand the scale, scope and severity of impacts is limited.
Mr. McCabe said that the metals company is attempting to spin this report in a favourable way to boost investor confidence. Mr. Barron denies this is the case.
There's no spin required. Maybe the other side are starting to wake up to the fact that we're entering a period of trade-offs. You know, there is no such thing as zero impact. We can't just magic up critical minerals and put them into our supply chain. They have to come from somewhere.
The ISA's Secretary General, Leticia Cavallo, has faced mounting pressure from proponents like Gerard Barron to deliver the mining code, the regulations and procedures for how deep sea mining should proceed in international waters.
The International Seabed Authority has been around for more than 30 years, and they have failed to deliver on the one thing they had to do, and that was put a legal framework in place to allow the exploration and the exploitation of these seafloor resources.
At the same time, opponents to deep sea mining, like Phil McCabe, are calling for its delivery to not be rushed.
If humanity wants robust regulations, then humanity has to wait.
Ms. Cavallo refutes criticisms that delays to these regulations have been because of activists.
I particularly don't embrace this logic, and the exercise of developing the rules and regulations also encompasses standards and guidelines. So it's not a simple, trivial process that can be delivered quickly. In 2023, there was consensualized, I can say in this way, roadmap issued as a decision by the Council that made a promise that member states would do the best efforts and intentions aiming to deliver the mining code by the end of the 2025. So as Secretary General, I fully trust on the ambition of the member states and of the Council.
Phil McCabe believes it's unrealistic to expect that the mining code will be delivered by the end of this year.
In real terms, I don't see the regulations being close to being finished for another 2 to 3 years minimum.
Gerard Barron says the uncertainty with when the ISA will deliver the code is part of the reason that his company turned to the US regulator, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, to lodge an application to commence deep sea mining. Ms. Cavallo says this decision could lead to a wild, wild west in international waters.
I would, in a free manner, say that we are opening a Pandora box that is going to be very difficult to be closed because collective action takes a lot of time to take shape.
It's a complicated situation, but the metals company decision essentially sidestepped the authority of the ISA because the US is not a party to the law of the sea, which established the ISA. And it's not a decision Ms. Cavallo is concerned by.
It's a dormant regime that has been in place and was tested a few times. I must say that I'm aware that U.S. law was subject of 4 applications. 2 were withdrawn over time, and it still remains with 2 applications that never really delivered its full ambition.
Gerard Barron says Ms. Cavallo's comments are far from his truth.
I don't care what the Secretary General thinks. And for someone who oversees a body that's been around for 30 years trying to put in place a set of rules, to judge an organization that has had the rules in place since 1980, come on. I mean, I hope she looks in the mirror and has a good look at herself, because that's a ridiculous comment.
Whilst the war of words may continue, the US executive order means the race towards commercial mining has already started.
That report compiled for Pacific Beat by Lucy Cooper.